Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I guess we're going to get this ball rolling after all. We're back on Blog Talk Radio. Still testing out audio. First night back on Blog Talk Radio. I like this program. I like this studio setup. It's really pretty... pretty nice for those who want to have a conversation. Oh, we had a conversation a couple days ago. I know there's a lot of people out on Duke Machado right now, especially with my announcement as far as Donald Trump goes. But that's all right. It's all right. I can always fade a little heat. It's no problem. All part of the program, all part of what it takes to win. Let me tell you, I was down in Austin at that event, that Donald Trump event, and the protesters, I shot some video on my Facebook page, a live video, and talked to a bunch of the protesters around there. You know, it's kind of crazy. They don't really have... they don't really have a good gauge on Hispanics. But here I was, a Hispanic in a crowd, and people would look at me, and I could tell they're looking at me, trying to figure out if I was one of them or if I wasn't. The ultimate crossover, that's what I say. In all my years in the car business, people would always, they wouldn't know what to think of me. Some people would say that I look Samoan. Others would say that I looked Italian. Others would say I looked Hispanic or Mexican. Some people would guess Cuban. some even Indian, like from India. Because of that, when I slide into a protester crowd, it's kind of hard to single me out. What are they going to do? Are they going to prejudge me because I'm wearing clean clothes? Is that my tell that my hair is combed? I gave myself away. I actually wore a clean pair of jeans. Well, I mean, I don't want to insult. I don't want to just spend the whole time insulting these protesters. I want to talk about what actually came of that experience for me. And I took some pictures from my video, and if you saw my Facebook page at all, you see that. I have some Black Lives Matter folks in my pictures. I have some gay people, definitely some gays uniting there with the Black Lives Matter. I have the mask guys, the doomsday guys with the anonymous looking masks. And then there were some just all out socialist communist guys with the white hammer sickle and red handkerchiefs that they wore over their faces. That's one comment. One of the comments on this video was that, why do they have to hide their faces? Well, everybody knows it's because ultimately they are ashamed to be identified. Why are they ashamed to be identified? Well, they may lose their job. I don't know. Hold on a sec. We may have some technical difficulties. I know someone may be trying to call in right now. Just to call in, just in case you're wondering, because tonight we are accepting calls. That number is 646-787-8541. You just need your phone. You don't need a device, a laptop, or anything like that. When you dial in with your phone, you're plugged into the program, and then if you want to talk, I think you hit one or something like that, and then I'll know that you're ready to talk. You come into the studio. It's kind of cool. But going back to this Black Lives Matter movement, they weren't alone. They weren't alone. There were, like I say, there were lots of gays. There were some Hispanics. There were some whites. There were some white folks there who were real sympathetic for the blacks and the Hispanics. Hispanics, I say that because, I mean, what I'm really meaning is the illegal immigrant groups. Who else was there? Like I said, the communists, they were all working together. They were all marching literally to the same drum. And who's beating this drum? That's really what the question is here. And I didn't just ask, I didn't want to just guess who was leading the drum beat. I actually hunted, not hunted, that's not the right word, a tracked down one of these leaders and talked to him for a little bit. We're going to get into that. But right now, it looks like we've got Valerie on the line. Val, are you there with us?
Yep, I'm here.
You're here. You saw part of my video. It was pretty chaotic, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it usually is when those people show up. I think that's actually their goal, is just to create chaos and keep people from paying attention to the real issues and what's really going on.
You know, they came up with some of the silliest lines, you know. Everything, well, I can tell you, I'm going to set this up properly because, like I say, kind of working incognito a little bit, incognito, was able to kind of blend in. And I was asking questions like I was, just a bypasser, not really aware of anything. And I got a lot of information. And I can tell you, this movement was not, there may have been some Austin people involved, but it was not a local movement. One of the guys I talked to, and he's in the video. He's a black gentleman there with the black shirt and the black pants and the clipboard, or the notebook or whatever he has with all of his plans on how to lead marches and how to motivate and talk to the volunteers for the protest. And the guy, you could tell he was a well-oiled machine, and he spoke to the people in a real teaching sort of a way, kind of like, look at
Sounds
me,
like a
how I
community
do it.
organizer.
Oh, definitely community organizer. And he said that he was brought in from Chicago a week early. And I guess it was his job or something to help organize this protest. So he wasn't there by himself. And you could tell there were like pit bosses. There was this one lady who, if somebody had a problem, they would go to her, and she would go and say things to people about, why are you here, who are you with, you need to get that camera out of here, or different things like that. I could see her being called around to put out different fires. But they were, the only organization that they had was that when the drummer would play and somebody would chant, that the others would try to repeat it. tried to repeat it, even to the point where some of them non-Spanish speakers were repeating Spanish lines. What these guys from Chicago said was, in Texas, there's a lot of Hispanics who are angry about immigration, and racism is a key factor in how they're going to work that angle, and so that's what they're doing. Donald Trump's a racist. Let's get the Hispanics on our side. We think all Hispanics are good people. You know, all of these sayings and the mantras that they kept repeating, it just sounded like every typical protest that you could imagine. You know, all the typical slogans, and it's just so played out. And no one led it, really. They would switch back and forth. And then someone said, "Follow me." And then they'd all start walking down the sidewalk. And, hey, ho, ho, you know, doing their, we don't need no racist, something, or we don't need no racist. And the drums going, and all the other skinny kids, you know, little young, I call them little young, skinny, masked kids, really, you know, they're young people who just had no really, it's like they didn't even know why they were there, you know? They just
wanted to be a part of something.
They
wanted
to be a part of something. You know, I'm just holding this sign. I don't know what it means. Well, why are you here? Why are you holding this sign? Well, what are you against? Well, we're against all government. All government, or what do you want instead? What do you want in its place? Well, we just want to. No one knows anything. Black Lives Matter is uniting with the immigrant movement. And the gays are all in it with them, the whole gay pride movement. You know, I don't have an issue with gays, but you know when it turns into flaming homosexuality and just in your face, then I have issues with it. Keep it in the bedroom, and we have no problems.
But you know, Duke, it's funny you say that. Well, it wasn't really organized, and nobody seemed to be leading it, but I think that there is, under the surface, an organization to it because, you know, how else do you get the gays and the blacks and the Hispanics all on the same bandwagon? And why do you do it? Division. And, you know, I have job leads sent to me, and I've told them that my field of interest is social work, and sometimes they send stuff that's very oriented to my field, and sometimes they send stuff that's got nothing to do with it. But the other day, I actually got a job lead with the title of community organizer. And I just went, wow, you know, they talk about it all the time, but I mean, so obviously there is activity, if under the surface, that these people who are being led don't realize they're being led. But there is an organization. It's like sort of an underground thing.
Well, and there's money involved. I mean, how do you fly people around?
There's big money
involved. You got to fly in the pros. And one thing that this guy said, you know, he was, you know, and I just kind of stepped into a conversation, but he was talking to someone, and they were talking about the Black Panthers. And, like, the guy was saying, well, you know, around here, you know, Black Panthers aren't going to do so well. You know, Texas is a little different. He said, basically what he was saying is your Texas Black Panthers ain't got nothing. When Chicago Black Panthers come, and we're coming, trust me, he says, we're coming. You're going to know it, and everybody's going to get out of our way, and everybody's going to do what they say. I mean, I was like, and I'm just listening, you know, I'm like, well, okay, really? really? They're just going to come in here? Well, we'll see.
And yet, if the police talk that way, or any white group talk that way about the blacks, you know, when the Alabama white people get here, man, the blacks are just going to get out of the way and they're going to do what they're told. You know what kind of backlash there would be for a statement like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're itching. They're itching for a fight. There were several different instances where people were walking through the crowds and these guys were just, you know, egging them on and just trying to get them to punch or to push or to do something.
That's their whole point, division. That's what's at the real root of it.
I asked one of them, I said, do you have any sort of support for Hillary Clinton? And he says, well, you know, I put her just barely above Donald Trump. And he says, I was for Bernie Sanders. So, you know, people say that Trump is not going to get a lot of the Republican vote. I think a lot of those Republicans may not have even been Republicans to begin with. You know, they were possibly crossovers or whatever. But Hillary's going to have a shortcoming of typical Democrat votes as well. And so I don't hear enough people talking about that. There's these Bernie Sanders people despise Hillary as much as everyone else does.
Well, this is why I keep telling the Never Trump people or the people who say, you know, my candidate's not in it, so I'm just going to stay home, or the people who say, well, I can't vote for either of them with any conscience, I'm going to vote for a third party, that I keep telling them, in the end, it's about numbers, and basically one of these two people is going to get elected. Okay, so if you don't get behind the Republican candidate, that means she needs even less votes to get elected. The less votes that he gets, the less votes she needs to win. So if you take your vote away from him, you're just making it easier for her. And I'm sorry, I don't care how nice a guy Gary Johnson is, he's not going to win. Neither is the Mormon guy that's thrown his hat in. You know, they're just the Green Party person. They've always been there. They don't draw the votes.
They're definitely spoilers in the game here. I don't see a strong Bernie crowd going for a Gary Johnson. But I know that I spoke with, they feel, like I say, our common bond with those guys is that they hate Hillary Clinton as much as we do. You know, they do. So much that I think a lot of them will vote for Trump just to make sure that she doesn't get it.
I wonder if they're more likely to just stay out of it. But in the end,
if they stay out, that hurts Hillary.
Yeah, until enough people stay out on the Republican side, and then it just makes it easier for her. So it's a balancing act at this point. You know, there may be only 10% of the voting public that's going to vote in this election for one or the other of them. How is that going to split, and who's going to throw the balance in what direction? You know, at this point, it's all the people who say, I'm staying home or I'm voting for Gary Johnson that are going to throw the balance in the wrong direction, I believe.
I had one friend of mine say today that he had to think of the country first and not party, and he was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I thought, how in the world do you come up with that conclusion based off of those circumstances? People don't have common sense like we used to. It is not so common.
People have been more and more pushed to make decisions based on emotion rather than on critical thinking. Everybody's down to the gut level emotion.
But I want to say also, you know, there's the one big, big issue that I've always had with Donald Trump, and you as well, and a lot of Rubio people, is his position on immigration. And
well, now that seems
had,
to be developing
well,
in a different direction.
You know, people told me, people in the know, they told me, well, you're going to start to see, even in fact, our governor told me, remember when I got my book signed from him, he said you're going to see him shift towards the middle on that, and I think that's what he's doing. But we're going to have a conversation next Thursday night with Rick Figueroa. He ran for National Committee Man for Texas, Republican National Committee Man. And he didn't win, but that didn't keep him from getting involved. And he's on a committee that, you know, a Hispanic Republican committee that met with Trump in New York, spent time there. You know, he's kind of been on the road with them for a little bit, for a few days. And I talked to him to get our interview scheduled for next Thursday, and he told me that there is a lot to be excited about, and that's all I'm going to say for now. But, you know, this is going to be an awesome interview, and it's going to be Thursday night. We'll have it ready for broadcast, so you're going to want to tune into that one. I have a lot of details. But what do you say, Valerie, you know, we've had our Marco Mondays. We've had a lot of listener support, a lot of Marco Rubio supporters who felt like they didn't have a voice, and we try to provide a platform for that voice. Now, as I look at this race and, you know, like what is the best path moving forward, I have made the conclusion that it's that Marco Rubio is not a factor. He's not involved in this presidential race. Why is it
not in this race? Not at this time. Yeah, people won't let go because I don't think that they like the idea of coming to grips with the reality of the thing. But that doesn't mean that the reality isn't going to be there. That being said, you know, I feel you, Rubio people. I am Rubio people. I've been Rubio people since I lived in Florida years ago. I've followed him for a long time. And just because we express an opinion on this show that now is not his time, obviously, unfortunately, but obviously, that doesn't mean we're saying he's finished, he's washed up, it'll never be his time. I think his time has yet to come. And I think there's substantial hope there. But right now, we need to come to grips with reality and get behind the candidate that's not going to drag us into socialism. And we know who that is. It's not the guy we wanted. We might not agree with everything he says, but he's not going to drag us into socialism like she would. If we get Hillary, it's going to be like Obama on steroids.
You know, I can't believe when someone tells me, well, I don't see no difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Really? Really? Or is that just, you like to say that? Or is that really, I mean, because I can give some examples of differences. And, you know, we haven't even had the debates yet. The debates are going to be brutal, I think, and they're not going to be helpful to Hillary.
I believe so, too, because I think he's going to do really well in debates. Also, I think where they come up with that comparison is that maybe they're just thinking entirely in terms of one to them is just as desirable to the or undesirable as the other. And so to them, there's no difference between them because they're both equally undesirable. I don't know that they're thinking beyond that when they make a statement like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both bad, so let's get the socialist in office. Let's get the known socialist in office versus the one who may have had some harsh rhetoric but hadn't actually done anything to the American people.
There's been harsh rhetoric, but at the same time, I believe where Trump's strength is going to be is that he knows from long experience how to delegate responsibility to the people who are able in that area that he wants them to be. You know, he's going to put good people in place. He's not going to be making every single decision. You know, the president doesn't make every single decision of the administration. They might run it by him in the end to get his okay, but he's going to put people in place that I believe are going to be very able people.
You know, the way I see, like, what when I see these protesters, and I'm not the only one, others see the protesters acting foolish the way they are, it kind of reaffirms, you know, if these are what we would consider, these protesters, we would consider them to be operatives of our opposition, right? These people are doing the work of those who we are against.
They are useful idiots.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll still call them operatives because they do, like you say, they are showing up and they are causing a ruckus. But where does it lead? Where does their movement lead? To me, they strive for violence. They strive for chaos. We're not going to get anything done that way. But what they do is they reaffirm to people like myself and others that if those people are against Trump, then we need to be against those people. We need to be against those people. You know, they fear him because he will put an end to a lot of their dreams of socialism. And really, a lot of them, like these Black Lives Matter guys, they're just trying to take advantage wherever they can, because they want to turn out votes. These guys are talking about feeding people with chips and a soda to get them to show up to do things or to vote or to protest. I mean, the guy told me, offer them a piece of candy and a soda. They'll show up.
This is
they're pulling people from bus.
The economy.
Yeah, they're pulling people
because
from bus
people
stations
are poor,
who are hungry.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
When people are poor, they're easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just gave was a great example of that.
All right, folks. I tell you, I just got the memo here. We're 90 seconds to the end of our program. These do fly by. They do fly by. That's okay. We're on again tomorrow night. We're on again tomorrow night. 30 minutes at a time. We will put it down. Valerie, thanks for calling in. Always good to have you to bounce ideas off of and things. Duke Machado, folks, we're back on the air. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Tell your friends, tell your family. We're still, go check out my Facebook page, The Duke Machado Show. And listen to our archive. It will be posted as soon as we're done. That's another thing I like about Blog Talk Radio. It's instant archives. So, hey, we got to get the phones ringing. I know this is our first episode back, but in the next few shows, I want to start taking some calls and opening up our conversation. All right, we're out of here, folks.